I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We'll start reading at verse 36 of that chapter and read to verse 50. A familiar passage to us, I'm sure. There's kind of a house visitation that goes on here, but not the ones you're used to, I'm sure. Starting at verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. One of the Pharisees asked him, that is Jesus, to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain money lender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who's this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Thus our reading from God's holy word. There's a woman who goes in peace. It's not Simon. There's a woman who goes in peace, forgiven. It's not him. There's a lot of us who leave a worship service and we don't go in peace. Maybe we go agitated. Maybe we go looking down our nose at someone else. Maybe it's very minty here suddenly. I've really noticed that in this church. It's very minty here. There's a lot of us who don't go in peace after worshiping God. Could it be because we love little? Because we judge ourselves to be forgiven little, needing to be forgiven little. I just need a little Savior, a little dab will do you forgiveness, a little bit of love, a little bit of gratitude, just a little bit. And peace, what do I need that for? I'm not agitated about anything. The last time I wept over my sins, well, I can't remember. And you don't go home in peace. She did. From exclusion to embrace. Our sins bring exclusion. Forgiveness brings embrace. You fly off the handle with your wife, and she's cool toward you, there's exclusion. There's a pushing away. You speak harmful, disrespectful, denigrating words to your husband, diminishing him, and he's cool, he's distant, he's angry, he's hurt. There's a pushing away, there's exclusion. Only forgiveness will bring embrace. Adam and Eve in the garden, do not walk with God in the fellowship of the cool of the day. They've eaten the forbidden fruit. They've said no to God, no to your way, no to your will, no to loving you, trusting you, walking with you. We'll do it ourselves, thank you. Exclusion! Hide! And they need a path of forgiveness for embrace. It's an old story. From exclusion to embrace is a gospel story. We all need it. Now, on one level, the 3 points here is listed there, the setting, the parable, the application. Another way you could talk about the setting is a house visit. But this is a heist bazook that kind of went berserk. This isn't your regular house visitation. We find things become a scandal, don't we? We remember that Jesus is the physician who seeks to save the lost. It's the physician or the sick who need a physician's help. We find that when we indulge our sins and walk in our ways, life is hard enough just with the stuff of life, isn't it? It's hard enough just with the stuff. Then you add your sins in there and your missteps and your backbiting or your gossip or things that indulge the flesh, whether it's materialism or something else, and before you know it, we're sinning sins that bring exclusion and create misery and sorrow rather than embrace. Or you try to live life by getting even, evening the score, keeping count, you know, keeping tally, tit for tat, quid pro quo, this for that, I'll show you, you're going to lose. From exclusion to embrace is a gospel story, and it begins with an invitation, this setting here, this invitation into the Pharisee's home. Sounds positive enough. Asked him to eat with him. He goes to the Pharisee's house, takes his place at table. And then everything kind of is like, this is odd. This is rather uncommon, this sinful woman known for being such in the city, this village town, wherever it was in the setting of the parable, and she learns that Jesus is there. The subsequent parable. She learns that Jesus is there reclining at table at the Pharisee's house and brings this alabaster flask of ointment. Now, it's important that the way a household could be set up, could have a courtyard where you could fellowship and dine. Remember, it's good weather most of the time there. not like the Midwest. Good weather, and courtyards open to the street. So it was kind of private, but kind of not. And people could come and kind of listen in and, you know, peek in on the festivities, if you will, sort of like, you know, dining outside at a restaurant, kind of private, kind of not. And she learns of Jesus and arrives. And all of this is kind of culturally hard for us to grasp because it's not It's not ordinary from washing feet and anointing with oil and the significance of a kiss and all of those things. We have our own protocols for welcome at an invitation. For us, you would get an invitation. You usually care about the time. You try to be punctual. You ring the bell. The door is open. We would expect a nice smile, a very welcoming sort of gesture. Glad you're here. Wonderful. Come on in. You'd be directed where to sit. You might be offered refreshment right away. You might be pointed to any facilities if you need to use them, especially if you've traveled some distance, that kind of thing. And there's this protocols within our own culture of being polite and kind and a good host. Well, they had their own protocols. They're not exactly ours. But even in that culture, some woman who has a bad reputation, known as a sinner, known as that kind of woman, there she's kind of burst in on this outdoor party, if you will, and she's crying constantly, streams of tears down her face, wetting Jesus' feet, using her own hair, taking it down to wipe his hair, and now taking this expensive ointment and anointing his feet with it. Well, for us, that's just all peculiar. And some of it is still peculiar. We might offer a handshake. They would offer a kiss. In that dry desert climate like that, we don't go around washing feet. If I came to your house, hey, Dr. Beach, why don't you show up at our house after worship? And I put my feet out there like, I'm waiting. It would be, whoa, this is one odd duck here. Excuse me. I'm not comfortable. Why did we invite him? But that was normal in a hot desert setting where you'd have the grit and dust get all over your feet to take your shoes. They didn't have air conditioning and all that stuff. So to take your shoes off and have them bathed and made clean in the cool water against the heat, wonderful. I feel relaxed. That was normal. And we don't typically anoint people with oil. We might share, I suppose, suntan lotion or bug spray, but we don't go around anointing one another. I mean, now, some of the old guys might remember Brill Cream and Vitalis to put in their hair. When I was a youngster, you know, the men really greased up pretty good, but that's kind of out of date now, isn't it? But you certainly wouldn't expect someone to offer. But in that climate, again, with all the dryness and the dust, to have some kind of fragrant oil to put on your face, you would feel fresh and clean and healthy. You're presentable with the fragrant oil rather than less than pleasant to sit next to. Yeah, that kind of thing. So they had their protocols. But along comes this woman, likely a prostitute within that community. Why she's in such a matter? Maybe the faith community didn't take care of her or love her, or maybe she went wild at some point in her life and stayed wild and then was kind of put in a trapped life. Who knows? It doesn't matter. She was regarded as sinner. People, Simon the Pharisee certainly could add it up who she was, and he is scandalized by this. If this man were a prophet, well, he'd know. He would know. Come on. If he were a prophet, what is he like this? What's wrong with this guy? You see, sinner, exclusion. Not wanted. Not invited. And only with forgiveness, embrace. And the way Simon thinks about She's the sinner. That guy, that person, the one over there, there's the sinner. Let's point. That's quite a way to think about things, isn't it? To look at others as the sinners. You know, when I was, probably the first time I heard it was maybe in high school, a Baptist preacher, sounding like a Baptist preacher, said every time you point at somebody, you got three fingers pointing right back at you. You're a sinner too. Three of them, maybe three times, the sinner. Exclusion, embrace, all begins with a house visitation that goes kind of crazy because here's this woman there weeping, shedding tears. This is all scandalous, even in that culture. This is crazy. And there she is weeping, so much so that she's wetting Jesus' feet, using her hair. This is just, I mean, it would be scandalous now. It was scandalous then. This is a broken sister with a broken life, a broken heart. She's come to see something about herself. She comes to the one who's Savior, who's the way, the truth, the life, the answer, the help, the hope. She comes to one who's the answer for her, who's reached out to her. And as you think about this story, do you point fingers at her? Do you laugh at her? Do you go, ooh, her? Or yes, her? There's no doubt people you know. In high school, there's no doubt people you know. Ooh, her! What are you, Simon the Pharisee? You're not going away out of this place in peace. She did. So important for us, dear brothers and sisters, to not make Simon's mistake. He's offended. He's scandalized. If this man were a prophet, so what do we read there? We read Jesus knew what they were thinking, right? Jesus answered him with what he's thinking and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Say it. Parable time. A terrible parable for one who's slow to learn and understand that there's a gospel story where there's exclusion, there is an answer with forgiveness and embrace. So he tells this parable about a money lender, and I don't have to repeat it all, but I could maybe update it by simply saying, suppose, boys and girls, that there is one, a family where the parents, well off, they lend one of their children $50,000, say, for a down payment on a house or something. And they lend another child $500 to help him buy a computer for college. Who knows? Something like that. And now they look and they go, well, our kids, they're not good at making money. So they can't pay back the $50,000. And even the college guy, he'll be, forget about it, you know. Hey, we cancel the debt. Son, $50,000 canceled. Daughter, $500 canceled. Which one will be happier? More grateful? More excited and thrilled? Wow, what parents do I have? Obviously, Simon answers right, the one who canceled the larger debt. $50,000 versus $500. Of course! Wow! You've answered correctly, Simon. And then, while he looks at this woman at his feet, He speaks to Simon. Do you see this woman? Because he hasn't seen her at all. Do you see this woman? Because you're blind. You don't see what's in front of you. All you see is sinner. Do you see this woman? And what does Jesus say? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. Rude. I entered your house at your invitation, but you didn't welcome me. You let me, it's like letting you stand there, not showing you a place to sit. No water from my feet, but she's wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. I've been in an Eastern European country where even the men, out when you greet them, leaving the church, you know, the men have to plant whiskery kisses on your cheek. Thanks. All right. In that culture, that was common. Like a warm, smiley, look you in the eye handshake, not a handshake, you know, a genuine. We've all had those at church, right? We want loving, look you in the eye, brother, sister, I love you, you count, right? That's a sidebar, all right. But that's important. It's part of communion of saints. It's part of love. It's part of eternal glory to come. It's part of being washed with the same blood of Jesus. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. It's all Him. It's all from above. No kiss. You did not. But meanwhile, she's continued to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil. You didn't give me refreshment. You didn't really welcome me into your home. Your motives were something else. But she has anointed my feet with this ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, no doubt, big fat sinner. Yes, exactly what she is. And she's the recipient of a bigger, fatter, healthier, plumper grace that embraces her and welcomes her and receives her. Do you see yet, Simon? Her sins are many, are forgiven. And he says, for she loved much. You see, this is why Jesus knows she's forgiven. Her tears are that of gratitude, of love, of devotion. She's found the way, the truth, and the answer to her broken life, which has known its own twists and turns of deviation and shame. And there she is in loving devotion, loving Jesus the Savior. She loved much. She's not forgiven because of her love. She's forgiven, and her love shows that. But he who is forgiven little, now comes the application. Forgiven little, loves little. What do you think about Jesus? Oh, he's all right. A little pinch of thanks, a little pinch of gratitude, a little pinch of devotion, because my sins are just little pinches. My sin, she's a big sinner, scandalous. And my sins are little peepsqueak sins, sissy sins, little, you know, goofball sins. What, do you need a goofball savior for your goofball sins, really? Is there such thing as goofball sins, really? Come on. The problem with our sinning and our sins is that some sins strike us as scandalous and other sins not. To gossip about someone in church, not scandalous. Sexual sins, scandalous. You snub somebody at school, exclude them, hurt them, they go home in glum and beaten down. So what? They deserved it. Ha ha. You're not scandalized, but it's scandalous. Harming others is scandalous. No matter what it is, as an employer or employee, harming is scandalous. Cheating is scandalous. Stealing is scandalous. Ruining reputation is scandalous. We're not little peep-squeak sinners. We didn't need a little weak Savior to do a little dying for us. We needed Almighty God, Son in the flesh, bearing our load and suffering our penalty. We need mighty God to save us. Jesus. With a mighty love and a mighty kindness, a mighty patience, a mighty devotion. We need Jesus telling Simon, look at her sins, they're many, her sins are forgiven. Her life is full of love for Jesus. Her tears are poured out in devotion. And sometimes we just feel like we deserve it all. We don't. You want to leave this place in peace, to go in peace. Dear brothers and sisters, look what Jesus has done for you. Look at your heart sins, your thought sins, your revenge sins, your begrudging sins, your retaliation sins, your looking down on others' sins, your conceit sins. Look at your repeat offenses. There you go again. You have sinned that one before, haven't you? There you go again. Repeat offenders, and yet God's grace reaches out longer than our repetition. There's a repetition of grace and kindness. Come to Him, seek Him. He's the one who said, come to me. Come to me with your burdens and your failures and your flaws. Come to me with your inconsistencies and your duplicities. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Rest. Peace, consolation, hope, strength. Come to me. And come to me with your tears of sorrow and with your tears of joy. Come to me. You see, Jesus sees people. He really sees them. He sees you. He sees me. He sees us to our depths. He sees this woman. Do you see this woman? Simon didn't see. Jesus sees. He sees us. And He forgives us. We're really forgiven. The shame that is your shame, it's confessed before God. It's really forgiven as far as east from west. And now, Lord, lead. Console. Unite. Commune. Help. Guide. March with Him. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Yes, on those terms, I want and hope all of you go forth from here in peace. For that's what we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, bless your word to us. Bless this word to us. Strengthen this word to us. Cultivate it in our hearts as we see one, our precious Savior, who does not kick one down, but lifts up. Where there is exclusion, he's the one who brings forgiveness and embrace. Truly, Lord, what a Savior is ours in Jesus. Amen.